as promised, we got a pair of Caps tickets to give away. Caller number 10, 800-636-1067. You're going to a Caps game Saturday, February 1 against Winnipeg. For tickets and the complete Caps schedule, go to thefandc.com. Last night, the Caps got another win. Ovi got another goal. They're the best team in hockey. It has been a lot of fun to watch the Caps, and you're going to do it in person in the good seats. Welcome back to Grant and Danny. Toby is in for Danny. We are in Bethesda. We are at Caddy's on Cordell downtown, and we are enjoying ourselves ahead of the NFC Championship game. And we go to the phones now to welcome on our buddy Jay Gruden, former head coach here in D.C. Jay, it's just electric. People are giddy. I cannot believe this is happening this season in year one of this operation. The Commanders are playing for a conference title, dude.
They're one game away from the Super Bowl, Grant. I mean, it's unbelievable what they've done and what they've accomplished. I mean, nobody in their right mind would have made this pick before the season started. But hats off to Peters for getting that team together. Dan Quinn, Jaden Daniels, all these guys, man. They've all produced at high level in critical times, and that's why they're here.
You know, you look at this team, down the stretch, they struggled with penalties. They were making some errors. They were still winning football games, but some of the penalty numbers were bad. They have fixed that largely in the playoffs. How hard is it to get that, to go from playing a little bit sloppy and making some of those mistakes to now going on the road in the playoffs and getting this team to play relatively mistake-free football?
Well, it's difficult, but it's just the coaches preaching fundamentals and making sure they do the right thing on the field. It's easier said than done, but they are really doing the right things when it comes to the penalties and the turnovers. That's the main reason why they're still playing. Penalties and turnovers. They don't have any negative plays on offense. Defensively, they're making the opposing offense earn every blade of grass.
Yeah, to this point in the playoffs, Jaden Daniels has more wins, if you want to count wins as a stat, than he has negative plays. Anything in the backfield, turnovers, to your point, it's just outrageous how he's performed. Let's talk Eagles for a second. If you had to slow down Jalen Carter and you had to do it without Sam Cosmi, what would be your plan? Draw something up for us to try to keep him from wrecking the game.
Well, I think, in pass protection, you got to get Tyler to slide to him at all costs. So we get four hands on him for sure. You want to change the protections up, whether it's quick game or moving the pocket for the quarterback, getting him outside, making Jalen Carter run sideline to sideline, get him worn out. I think Cliff Kingsbury will do a great job using no huddle to make these guys run and get them tired. I think that's the most important thing. And then come crunch time, just make sure you're doubling them and take care of them. He'll be all right. Trent Scott will be fine, and Tyler will be at Azure, slide over there, take care of him in the pass game. And then Cliff will do a good job with the quick game and changing up the protection point.
You saw them kind of spread the receivers out some in that Detroit game. They were able to get some effectiveness in the run game. Also worked for that Terry screen that he takes to the house. You think that's going to be something that's a part of the game plan, and do you think adding that in is going to help them maybe get the run game going against Philadelphia as well?
Well, they always have the pass option off a lot of their runs, so if there's an extra body in the box, Jalen always has the ability to either pull it and run it or dump it out there for the screen to Terry or OZ or whoever it might be, Crowder, whoever it might be. So, yeah, they always have an answer for the defenses. If they load up the box, they're going to flip it out there and get the numbers back in their favor. They've done a really good job of that. Jaden's decision making has been outstanding all year, whether to give it, keep it, or throw it. He's just been damn near perfect at it.
How much credit do you think should go to the technology he's using, where he's on the VR headset and he kind of suggests that he plays the game out before it happens, and he goes through all his reads at like double speed, and he says that's where his confidence and his knowledge comes from? They're able to input everything all the way down to where the clocks are at in the stadium, and Cliff Kingsbury by Wednesday gets him the information he needs so that they will allow the coverages to match up with the plays that they want to quiz him on and how he gets out of it. Like, A, what do you make of that? And B, shouldn't every team be doing that with their quarterbacks at this point?
I think it's incredible. Any rep is a good rep to me. And the more times you call the play in the huddle and rep the play, whether it's in your mind or out on the practice field, you're going to benefit from it. And I wish I would have had that when I was coach. We're too stupid to use technology like that. It would be advantageous for us. But, yeah, I think when you have a young quarterback, the more reps you can give them, the better. I don't care if it's via the technology or practice or walkthrough. Those are huge reps. And he's obviously taking care of it, because when you watch him play, they don't have any mistakes. Their ball handling has been precise. Their protections have been fine. They're never offside. They don't ever, jump offsides. And it's just been fun to watch these guys. Jaden is playing like a 10-year veteran. I mean, he just has total command of the offense, and I think this is a big part of it.
Why didn't they use more tech? Was that to suggest it wasn't big organizationally, or you weren't a big fan of it, or was that? I mean, it's been a huge emphasis of this ownership group, I will say that. Mitch Rales, Josh Harris, these guys are all in on the data, technology. Obviously, that wasn't always the case here.
Yeah, no, I don't know what was available back then. I didn't do my due diligence as far as that research and how productive that could be, how much that could benefit our quarterbacks. You know, we did have them a long time in the building, though, come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So it's not like they were given the opportunity to get better with their mental approach. So this is just another added weapon for the quarterbacks to use if they want to use it.
You look at Vic Fangio and his defense. He's one of the few, we were talking about this a little bit earlier, that's kind of confused Jaden, been able to get the better of him a couple of times. What makes it so difficult to go against the Vic Fangio defense? And then you look at the first matchup versus the second matchup, where I thought Jaden didn't look as comfortable in the first matchup. Some of that's the rib injury. Some of that's facing, you know, that Fangio defense for the first time. And then the second time, he was much better. But their blitz rate also went up three times as much. How much do you expect them to be aggressive and try to force the issue? And what makes facing that defense so difficult?
Well, I think Vic's big success is his four-man rush. If he can get home a four and they can mix in their coverages, 3-by-1, 2-by-2, and all that stuff, that's where he excels. And then he'll throw in a fire zone every now and then, rush five, maybe six it all out every once in a while. But I think that's where he succeeds the most. He has good two big guys up the middle getting the push up the middle, and then he has some speed guys on the outside to try to keep the quarterback in the pocket. And then they're able to rotate their safeties and play different coverages with eyeballs on the quarterback, which, you know, can make it hard. You know, if he doesn't feel like he's getting home with a four-man rush, that's when he'll add five guys and try to get home with some pressure. But, you know, I think the best way to attack him is just do what they've been doing. You know, they have the RPOs going, so if they want to blitz, they can flip it out to the screen. They got the zone reads going, the quarterback design runs, a quick game, and then the play-action shot game, which they do a really good job of, or they did last weekend, he'd get the ball to De'Ami Brown or Terry McLaurin down the field. So, you know, Cliff's got it all going on right now. It's very hard to stop this offense because of the multiplicity of it?
Multiplicity. Multiplicity. You got that. That's like a four-syllable word.
I know. I'm not used to using those.
Multiplicity. That's a five-syllable word. Jay Gruden, five-syllable word. You're getting a nice ovation out here.
NFC Championship, bringing out the best in Jay.
Yeah, Jay stepping up for the NFC title game. Fresh off the golf course. Grant and Danny here from Caddies in Bethesda. Toby's in for Danny today. Jay, how about on the other side of the ball, trying to figure out Marshawn Lattimore covering A.J. Brown? Would you have him travel? Didn't go very well the first time. Or would you tap into Mikey Sandra, still coming off two picks, feeling good about himself?
I'd let him. I think it depends on the comfort level of both those guys, whether they can flip sides or not. A lot of guys don't like to do it. Then, you know, if it's man-to-man or not, it's hard to disguise your intent sometimes. I don't know. There's some negatives to it, but there's some positives because Lattimore has played him many a times in his career. I think it's just a comfort level. You got to ask Marshawn if that's what he wants to do, and ask Sanistro if he likes, you know, going back and forth as well. So I think Sanistro's doing just fine on anybody. I wouldn't mind him throwing to A.J. and against him. He's played his ass off. You know, everybody thought he was just a nickel, but he's turned into one of the better corners in the league.
How do they slow down Saquon? I mean, obviously we talk about the normal stuff of loading the box and some of that stuff. Is it as simple as that, or is it ways that you're bringing run blitzes, or how are you trying to slow him down? Also, with maybe the idea that Jalen is a little bit banged up and not going to run the football as much as well.
Yeah, I'm sure that they're going to challenge. I'm sure Coach Quinn will challenge him with some loaded boxes. But you got to move your front a little bit too. And the big thing is you got to get off the blocks. You know, that's the Eagles are here because of their physicality on both sides of the ball. They own the line of scrimmage on offense and defense. And when you can do that, you are going to be playing for NFC championships. Now you just got to play as physical as them. Payne and Allen got to get off blocks. They got to stunt the defensive ends, bring the linebackers over the top, whatever it might be, to give them different looks. Every once in a while, a fire zone, maybe rush five or six and try to force Jalen to make some throws down the field, which he has not really performed very well at as of late. So if you can force these guys to be one-dimensional, it'll be a very good day for the Commanders.
Jay Gruden with us here on The Fan. All right, before we let you go, what do you expect? Do you think the Commanders as underdogs will go to Philly and come away a winner?
I just like the way the Commanders are playing as far as their unity is concerned, and they play together as a team, and they never blink. even if the Eagles get up on them early, I think they'll have the feeling they can always come back. And that's a big plus for a young football team, to always have that belief you can win. And the Eagles, on the other hand, I just feel like if something goes bad, doesn't go their way, you know, A.J. Brown will be reading a book and they'll be starting to point fingers. So I like the unity best on the Commanders. So I'm thinking the Commanders is a very close one. I actually like the Commanders kicker than the Eagles as well. So comes down to a kicking game. Hopefully Zane can knock it through and get the victory.
Jay getting another ovation in-house here in Bethesda.
That's the only ovation I've ever gotten since I've been there.
That's true. They've gone from booing you to cheering you, Jay. Look at this.
Yeah.
How about it? Let's hear it for Jay Gruden one final time in Bethesda.
Hey, let's go Commanders, man. Let's go.
Hey, all you had to do was, not coach for a handful of years and come on the radio. Now you get ovations.
Hell yeah.
It's easy. Thanks, Jay. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, Jay.
You got it anytime. Thanks, fellas.
All right, be good, brother. There's Jay Gruden with us on Grant and Danny, helping us break down the game plan to beat the Eagles. I want to look at some of the FanDuel props, individual player props. We'll play a little over-under with Darris back in studio next. We're live in Bethesda. Before we get out of here, we will break the mic back out for our listeners that are at Caddy's. We're going to let them address the team. They get the final say. What would they tell the team before they run out of the tunnel? You're listening to the fans.